Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Public Handicapper Podcast. On this week's pod, we are handicapping the five major stakes from Turfway Park on Saturday. This is show number 55, March 13th, 2020. I'm Scott Carson, founder of Public Handicapper, and I'm joined by my co-host, Hall of Fame handicapper, Chris Larmy. Chris, do you have another update on the coronavirus in Washington? Is it peaking, or did it peak, or what's happening there right now?
What a crazy, crazy week this has been. I mean, the last few years have been crazy pretty much worldwide and in the racing world, but this week it just went up another notch or two. It's just been absolutely crazy. I mean, Washington really hasn't changed. I think the rest of the country's right now about where we were a week or two ago. It's just really crazy. And, you know, I want to give a little bit of advice, especially for some of the younger listeners. First of all, enjoy the races this weekend. I mean, be thankful that racing's still on and it's about the only game in town. In fact, the racing industry ought to look on this is a real opportunity. I think there could be more eyes on the product than normal. And, you know, potentially this could be a big opportunity to market the sport. So tell your friends, especially those that are normally betting on sports or watching sports on the weekend, there's still a sporting event, the best game in town that you can watch. And so take advantage of that, get your mind off of all this other stuff. So that's advice number one. Number two, with regards to the stock market tanking and your 401k tanking, just unless there's some reason you have to withdraw from that, do not worry about it. Stop watching the market. Don't look at that number on a piece of paper because that's all it is. Just sit back and I guarantee you, I can't predict when, but in the not too distant future, it might take a few years, it'll be back to where it was and everything will be fine. So don't stress out over the stock market. And then probably the third piece of advice, which is sort of relevant to our discussion today, is, you know, we all know, those of us who follow this sport closely and bet on it, we're not at all surprised at the recent events surrounding the FBI indictments and with Service and Navarro. You know, we've talked about that on the pod. I don't like to use names, but, you know, certainly those guys were at the top of or near the top of anybody's list of people who were probably using something that they shouldn't be to get an edge. And we also know there's lots of others that are doing the same, and we have a good idea who those are. And I'm talking about some of the top trainers probably would be on my list. And I think this is bound to chill some of that bad behavior in the near term, at least for a while. It may not long term if racing doesn't do something to get its act together. But I would factor that into your handicapping beginning this weekend. Maybe some of these trainers that you were afraid to leave out of your tickets or take a stand against in vertical wagers, this is the time to do it. And you might get some value in that because you have to believe the other Navarros and Services of the world are a little bit nervous about doing anything right now. And unless they're really brazen, they might back off for a while at least. And so factor that into your handicapping. So I know it's a little bit of rambling for the intro, but given current circumstances, I think it's worth a few minutes. So I'll stop rambling now, but some of this may come back up in our discussion later on.
Okay, I will not continue the ramble because people know that we focus on handicapping the races on this show, even though it's certainly worthy of discussion. But we'll let other pods cover that material. In the meantime, we have a special guest this week. He's a two-time Beamy Award winner. He's qualified for the NHC. He is proprietor of FatBaldGuyRacing.com. He's Dan Cronin. Welcome, Dan.
How you guys doing this morning?
All right. Everybody's working from home today, I imagine.
Yeah, exactly. We're all sitting at home with the laptops and the PTs out. And like you said, Chris, I mean, we should be thankful that our game's still going on. If everything else, it seems like when that ball starts rolling downhill, and I'm not going to be a doctor and say what's right and wrong and what's over panic and what's not. But, you know, we're lucky that we're still running. That's all I can tell you.
Dan, can you tell us a little bit about your handicapping methodology? What are you, a pace guy, racing form, Brisnet? What do you use? What's your specialty?
Well, I use the DRF formulator mostly. I will look at Brisnet somewhat for the numbers to just compare the buyer speed figures with the Brisnet numbers a little bit. I mostly am a class handicapper, where I'm all about looking for that horse that has a little bit better class, that might be a little bit off form. I get a bad rap on Twitter because people say, well, you're a chalk player, and that's just not true. You know, the one difference I think for me from a lot of guys is I don't mind singling chalk in a pick five, as long as I can think that there's value somewhere else in a different race where I can take five or six horses or even hit the all button. One of my biggest hits at Kentucky Downs last year, I had a single of a 3-5 and I hit all, and, you know, I caught $100 horse in the other race and I get back $50,000. So, I mean, you can win that way. You know, you just got to be able to pick your spots, but I'm a really big straight bet player and a pick four, pick five player. I can't remember the last time I bet an exacta or a trifecta.
Question, Dan, do you play Turfway often? And if you do, what can you tell us about the track?
I do play Turfway every day. I give out picks on their feed on Friday nights. And I can tell you this, if you take the inside post positions in sprint races, I'd love to book your bets. It doesn't really matter sometimes, like on the routes, you could break in the outside, but if your rider isn't smart enough to stay out there, it can really mess you up, because down the backside, it's like quicksand. If your horse, you know, like at Gulfstream, sometimes you like to be in the pocket. You better not be in the pocket at Turfway. If you're in the pocket at Turfway, you are taking some of the worst kickback there is in horse racing, and they just don't fire on that rail. You don't see winners sneak through the rail, shoot through the rail. You continuously see winners out in the 4 and 5 path. You can see riders right reining in the middle of the stretch, just begging that horse to not drift over to the rail, because you want to be in the middle of the track. So I would tell you, if you got a horse in the 8, 9, 10 hole going a mile, don't get nervous like you do at Keeneland. You know, do not get nervous. You'll be fine. All he's got to do is just stay out there. Don't worry about the loss of ground. As long as he's avoiding that kickback and he's got a little bit left in reserve, he'll be fine.
Yeah, according to Brisnet stats, the 8 post on out at a mile, and actually all routing distances, is better than anywhere else. They win at 12%, and the inside posts are at 9 or 10%. So,
now isn't that wild?
I mean, it is kind of
track anywhere like that.
Well, it's interesting too, because when you watch replays, which I've been watching replays this morning, you see that kickback is pretty significant. So if a horse has proven that they can close with that kickback, that also might be a little bit of an edge.
Yeah, absolutely. A trip over any horse that's proven, even maybe at Arlington or Presque Isle or Woodbine, if they've proven that they can absorb some kickback on that poly, you know, it really helps them. You know, turf horses do well here. There's no question. The other thing I stay away from all the time is if a dirt horse is shipping in and has not been on the poly and is a short price, I run from them. Steve Asmussen has had one win here with a horse that I actually like Saturday. But other than that, he has not done well because he's usually got dirt horses. And, you know, you just want to stay away from them.
Chris, did you have any questions for Dan before we get started handicapping?
Well, he talked about inside-outside bias. What about speed and closers at Turfway? Any bias there?
I don't think there is. It's harder to go wire to wire, but the wind here is so bad some nights. You got to really pay attention to the wind, which I know is funny, but those flags sometimes are howling, and you'll get 30-mile-an-hour winds. And if that wind's blowing across, the speed does very well. Now, there are some days that you just got to pay attention that, you know, the closers, the deep closers will win, but it's not like it was at Keeneland when they had the poly where if you had the lead, you have no chance. That's not true. You know, the stalking speed horses do well. I mean, they do very well in the cheaper races, especially going six and a half furlongs. If you can find a horse in that seven hole out, you know, that can stalk and just kind of sit real close to the pace, make his run three wide on the turn, they win all the time here. So I would not be afraid of speed horses at all.
I did have one more comment than a question. I had the pleasure of meeting your brother at the Kentucky Derby a few years ago. I think it was when Nyquist won. So I know he's he was there. I know he's interested in racing and as a he's a bit of a player. But he's also a great basketball coach, and I want to tell you to congratulate him for me. He probably doesn't remember me, but he had a heck of a year as a coach at UCLA this year as a first-year coach there, really turned that team around. And I'm a Pac-12 fan, and I'm a little worried that UCLA is back now with him as the head coach. He did a great job.
Well, thank you very much. I can tell you I went out for a week right after the Breeders' Cup, and I looked at him and I said, I don't know how you're going to win 10 games with this team. You're all young guys. Nobody's an NBA level player. How on earth are you going to win? And then all of a sudden in January, it's like all those young kids just grew up and they bought in and they decided they were going to dig in and try. And man, oh man, what a great feeling that the way they finished the season. I feel bad for them that they don't get to play the rest. And that's a whole different subject, that why they canceled this tournament and didn't just delay it till May. But, it's a big money event, and I guess they just couldn't do it. So we'll let horse racing take the spotlight for now. But thank you very much on that. It means a lot.
All right.
Yeah, let's turn it over to racing now, because we fortunately do, at least as of now, have the opportunity to watch and play this weekend.
Okay, so we're going to start with the seventh race at Turfway. It's the Latonia Stakes, a mile on the synthetic. All the races are on the synthetic. Purse of $100,000 for fillies and mares, four-year-olds and up. Dan, as our guest of honor, why don't you get us started? Who do you like here?
Sure. Well, first of all, it's the start of the pick five, so I'm going to spread out in this race, but I do like Speedy Solution the best, mostly because of the pace in here. There's just so much pace. For a normal, you know, mile race on the poly, you don't usually see four or five, six horses with this much pace. So I have a feeling this race has got to come back a little bit in the lane. And Speedy Solution has, you know, Tippett Tappet was a pretty nice horse. Screenwriter he beat last time is a pretty decent horse. And he was in the 11 hole. He got hung way wide. Had a rider that's I'll just say he's not very good. Ashard does not win a very high percentage, where Corrales is one of the top guys here. So, you know, you're third off that little bit of a layoff. You got the rising figures. You got a good post to be able to just let the speed go, work your way out of there. I think Speedy Solution's the top horse in here. And then, you know, I would make sure on my tickets that I use Call Me Kayla, that it's Maker and it's Irad. I don't know what happened last time, but I'm just trying to draw a line through it and maybe get a little bit of a price. I'm also going to use Gorgeous Rags because he's a closer. Brendan Walsh usually has some turf horses I'm hoping that this horse will take to the synthetic. And then I'm also going to use the 7 New Rue. So I'm not going to use any of the speed horses. I'm going to try to use all the closers, all the stalkers, and hope that this race collapses. What do you guys think?
Well, we'll let Chris opine first. What do you think?
Well, I just want to preface this as I have not followed Turfway this year. I haven't played it much, but I do typically like to play races on synthetic. I love playing Woodbine, Golden Gate when there's good field sizes. So I know I feel pretty comfortable playing these kinds of races, but I'm glad we had a little conversation with Dan. I think I might readjust some of my thinking, especially what he said about the kickback and wanting to avoid that inside part of the track. But in this race, I saw it quite a bit different, other than I totally agree about the pace. I think it is a hot pace, and that there is a good chance, given this is a two-turn race and a hot pace, that it could sort of melt down. Speedy Solution, I think, might be able to take advantage of the pace scenario, but to me, he just seems a little bit slow. I thought so. I think he could win, although being down on the inside makes me like him even less now after what Dan had said. So I wouldn't be shocked, but with the connections and that morning line, that's probably not where I see the value. Dan did mention a horse that I like quite a bit in here, though, which probably won't surprise Scott, and that New Rue, the 7 horse. He is a closer. He's got one of the better closing kicks in the race. And he's the sort of horse I love to play. Again, a 4-year-old, second off a layoff. Had a nice comeback effort. Couldn't run down the winner that day off the bench, but that was off the layoff. And the winner did get loose early and is in this race as well. Genie's Bebop, or Beep Beep. Genie's Beep Beep. I feel sorry for the track announcer during the race, because he'll have to call that horse's name probably. So New Rue is definitely one that I'm interested in. That's probably the one I like the most in here. There are some others, but I don't want to steal Scott's thunder if he's on another horse, and I might come back in with a few other opinions. But for me, the best value at 12-1 on the morning line is the 7 horse New Rue, who isn't probably going to get stuck on the rail, has a nice closing kick, and should be sitting on a big race second off the layoff.
Well, I'm going to agree with you on New Rue. I'm all about New Rue. Second off the layoff, fresh 4-year-old, won his maiden race first time on the synthetic. The trainer is 28% second off a layoff. In his last race, he also bumped a horse to his right when he first started. It wasn't significant enough to earn a chart comment, but it still could have had an effect. So that's definitely my horse. And pace was the deciding factor, because there are a number of horses that I think have a shot in here. I think Speedy Solution, he's the kind of horse that is a little slower than some of these, at least on the numbers I'm looking at. But he also is really on right now. He's working out great, and I would absolutely include him. A couple of bombers that you should consider. I think Genie's Beep Beep fits on numbers and has some upside. If the horse is actually 12-1, I'm interested. It's only run 3 races, and we don't know if she has to have the lead. She has to have the lead. So that's a horse I'm interested in. And another one I'm just going to throw in there as a use at Big Balloons is Red Dane. He's 0-4 on the synthetic, but she's 0-4 on the synthetic, but ran her best synth number last race when first time blinkers. So the blinkers could have had an effect. I thought the number was good enough that it was one of her best races ever. And she's had a couple of bullet works on synthetic since the last race. So she could blow up the tri super if the race falls apart, and even has a slight chance to win.
Dan, I'll let you jump back in before I say anything else.
I agree with everything you guys said, that this race has multiple horses that can win, and that's the perfect kind of pick five race to start. Nuru, I went back and forth on Speedy Solution and Nuru on which one I was going to put on top on my sheet, and it really didn't matter because I knew I was going to spread anyway. But I'm glad you guys like Nuru, because when I put the horse second on my sheet, and I was like, man, I hope people aren't criticizing me for this one, and I'm glad you guys said that, because I love Tom Drury. He is a local trainer here. He doesn't get a ton of really good horses, but when he does, they fire. And I think Nuru's got a big chance to sit back and blast home. And then what you said about Jenny's Beep Beep, I mean, the one sharp handicapper here that I listen to, he always tells me when they're undefeated, you never know how good they are. So even though as they're going up the ladder, don't knock them, because you just don't know yet. You know, you don't know where the bottom is. They've never been beat yet. And I'm like, well, okay. You know, the horse, on first look, you're thinking, you know, speed outside, going to probably get outrun. Then she's going to have to come on. But she's never been beat. So if you do get anywhere near 10 or 12 to 1 and it's hanging like that, I'll probably add that horse into the pick five, because if we can start the pick five with a $20 or $30 horse, you know, on a bigger day, you're probably going to have 100,000 in that pool, you know, especially with nothing running other than Oakland and, you know, horse racing. There's no games to bet on, so everybody's going to be pointing to horse racing. You know, my buddy's out in Vegas, and he's just sitting there twiddling his fingers. He don't know what to do because he went out for the conference tournaments, and he's got nothing to bet on. So he's just waiting for horses to start running. And I'm sure there's people all over the country doing that. So, yeah, I agree with you guys. There's some bombers in here that got a big chance.
Yeah, two things to add about Jeannie's Beep Beep. She actually won her debut. She apparently hit the gate and steadied at the start. I didn't watch the race, but was 11th and last and still won the race by 5 lengths. And I watched the replay of her last race against Nuru, really more because I was interested in Nuru. But Nuru could not catch Jenny's Beep Beep. I mean, she had the lead, and the horse just was not going by. So Jenny's Beep Beep upside. I think the 12 to 1 is probably wrong, but if 8 to 1 or something like that, very nice. Chris, did you have more on this?
Just real quick, I'm with you on Jenny's Beep Beep. To me, that horse has a much better race than her. If you look at her pattern, this horse is a good horse, and she might be the best horse in the race, but the pace could do her in. She did draw outside, which, given the track bias, could suit her well, and she might be able to stock. It's only her fourth start. I mean, one was on the slop when she got had all kinds of trouble, one was off a layoff, and one was her first route. I mean, this horse is talented with upside. And if it was a normal paced race, this would be my play. But because of the pace, I'm a little nervous, but I would absolutely include her, because if there's a speed horse that has the potential to sit back off the lead and run a big race, this is the one. So I'm all with you on there. And I'm also with you on Red Dane as kind of a clunk up second, third, fourth finisher in here at a price. So sounds like we're all on the same page on this first race.
All right, well, we'll wrap that one up. We've got four more to go. The next race is the eighth race, the Rushaway Stakes, 1 1/16 on synthetic, purse of 100,000 for 3-year-olds. And Chris, why don't we let you get this one started?
Okay, this race was a tough race. It's really hard to separate them. I landed on a horse that probably Dan doesn't have, because it's a dirt horse. Making its first start on the ascent, but it has pretty good breeding, I think. It's out of a More Than Ready mare, and for me, More Than Ready is one of the better sires on the scent. Pretty versatile on any surface, actually. And Malibu Moon doesn't bother me at all on synthetic. This horse has a pretty good dirt race off its last.
You're speaking, of course, about the 6 Amen Corner.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot to mention the name. Yeah. 6 horse Amen Corner. So I guess this is named after the famous hole or turn on the Masters golf course in Augusta. But the six horse, I think this is a much weaker field than it faced last time on the dirt. And it's bred to handle that switch on surfaces. I think it did draw an outside post. It has, you know, tactical speed. It won't be on the lead, but it shouldn't be too far off of it. So, you know, to me at 12-1 morning line, that's, I think, the value play in here. Although this is kind of a tough race and it's pretty wide open, but I think at a price that horse is worth playing.
All right, Dan, where did you land here?
I landed on the 8, Memorable, more because I saw this race at Turfway and I thought the horse should have won that race, and he did, and he won it emphatically, stopped. And I think this is exactly the same, you know, way he's going to win tonight or Saturday. Is he's going to sit about third or fourth on the outside. He's going to have every reason to fire. Garcia's, you know, a decent poly track rider. So I think, you know, the numbers are a little bit light versus a few of these in here, but I'm so against the 1 and 2 that are probably going to take a lot of money. I'll take a few of them in here in the pick 5, but Chris is right. I did not have the 6. I had the 3, 4, 7, and 8 written down to take in my pick 5s. But I think Memorable at 5-1 is a decent play just because of the turf, the synthetic, you know, 2 for 2 when you combine the turf and synthetic. I'm sorry, 1 for 1 on the synthetic and 1 for 1 at Turfway. So, you know, I don't think this field's that great. I have a feeling they may bunch at the head of the lane, and it's going to be, you know, who gets that outside swooping trip. And, you know, Chris mentioned this at the beginning, and I don't, you know, we don't want to mention a lot of names, but the 4 trainer is one of those trainers that I'm a little iffy. I'm going to have to watch him now for the next couple of weeks. Is he going to be able to continue this, you know, ridiculous percentage, you know, now that this stuff has happened? So I'm going to kind of take a wait and see with all his horses.
All right. Well, this is the worst race to me. It's the race that I'm least interested in. I initially, when I went through, I said Banzi's going to win this race because of the numbers. 1 for 1 on the synthetic. The mother won on synthetic. Verrazano excels as a synthetic sire. And I have a hard time going against this horse, except there was this one stat that really threw me for a loop, and that is the racing flow numbers for his one win on the synthetic. He earned in the race, he had the lead, and there was a closer favorability rating of 1. Now, that's a scale of 1 to 100. So the chances of winning from behind were almost impossible, according to the racing flow numbers. And the horse won, setting a very slow pace. So given that, I have a hard time actually taking the horse. And he's also carrying extra weight. He's carrying 124, which is 6 pounds more than everybody else. I like Memorable, and I guess that's my pick. I guess Memorable is my pick, but the problem with Memorable is that he's the slowest horse in the race, at least on the sheet figures. He's the slowest horse in the race, and at 5-1, he's not really a good bet. Now, I give a major, major credibility to him being 1 for 1 on synthetic, so for that reason, I'm going to go ahead and make him my pick. But I'm not going to bet this race. I wouldn't bet this horse unless he was 10-1 or higher. The one horse that I would also mention is regarding Chris's horse, Amen Corner. This is exactly, and Dan said this before, and I would agree that when a horse is run fast on the dirt and then comes here for the first time, that's when I don't want the horse. I also don't want the horse trying 2 turns for the first time. So it's 2 turns coming off a big dirt number on a synthetic surface that it hasn't tried yet. But at the same time, it's the longest priced horse in the race. So if I play the pick 5, just out of respect for Chris and respect for the number power, he hasn't proven that he can't run on synthetic, and he's 12 to 1 morning line and probably will be 12 to 1, maybe even higher. So I would use him.
The only thing I would just add is, yeah, I agree that Safi Joseph, the trainer of the four, is a great example of a guy that's been getting ungodly numbers and horses jumping way up consistently. He'd be on the top of my list as a possible a guy getting an edge that he shouldn't get. I'm not saying I have any proof that he is, because I don't, but I didn't have any proof that Cerberus and Navarro did, and now I do. So he's the kind of trainer, exactly. I'm glad you pointed that out, Dan, that I would just consider all his horses underlays and don't be afraid to go against him. Now, a lot of the things that these guys use have residual effects that last beyond a few days. So it may take a while before their horses start tailing off, but some of the stuff they use, they have to give right away. So, you know, I would, this is a great example, uncork the bottle. If this horse runs off the sheet, then my hypothesis takes a hit. But if the horse runs up the track, that will just reinforce, you know, my thinking going forward. So that's the kind of horse you want to keep your eye on this weekend, because it could provide a unique opportunity to cash in on the recent events. So I'm glad you pointed that out.
Yeah, right, I agree with you. Go ahead.
No. I was just going to ask you if you had any further thoughts.
The only horse we haven't mentioned that I thought had a chance is Blanket of Roses. And, you know, it's only because of the Gulfstream shipper angle. Gulfstream shippers do very well here, especially turf shippers. Maker's been one of the leading trainers here for years. And whenever you get IRAD, now IRAD's not exactly, you know, I don't think Polytrack when I think of IRAD, but I think he's a very smart rider. And I think he'll be told, you know, sit back, blast home, but come down the outside. Don't try to come up the rail. So I think that horse has a chance if you are betting pick fours or pick fives to, you know, if you're taking a few horses, at least consider taking that one.
Yeah, this race could flummox my entire pick five play and prevent me from even playing it. We'll see. Our next race, the ninth race, it's the Kentucky Cup Classic, 1 1/8 on synthetic for four-year-olds and up, a purse of $150,000. Dan, we'll swing back to you for this one.
Well, it's funny. I was on the air the night that Some Like It Hot Brown ran, and I was preaching, don't take him, don't take him, don't take him. His last race was so bad. You know, it's going to be an underlay, and he just won like a thief in the night against a very, very good, solid field and never even broke a sweat. I mean, just sat right there second on the outside, went aft, exploded away from him, and basically won geared down. And his love and affinity for Turfway Park, and I bet on him last year in the big race, and didn't get a price, but did hit a bunch of multis around him. I think it's the same thing this year. I don't see anybody in here that can beat him. I think the race flow and the pace is perfect for him, that he's going to be able to sit right behind Lanier and maybe one other one and just go when they're asked. And, you know, unless, nonetheless, who's the other poly horse in here, just absolutely explodes weight and runs by him, I don't think there's anything else in here that can beat him. I think this is, you know, the way I read it is, this is the most logical single of the pick five. And if you wanted to take two, I would take nonetheless. And that's all I would take. I, you know, now if I was making some plays, trying to get some prices, there's other prices I think can hit the trifecta. But as far as winning the race, and far as looking at these five races and saying, who is the most logical single, I think it's Some Like It Hot Brown.
Okay, well, I know Chris isn't going to pick Some Like Hot Brown. Who do you like, Chris?
Well, I do have respect for Some Like It Hot Brown. He does like the track, and he drew an outside post, and he has speed. So, you know, I'm not saying he can't win, but he wouldn't be the one I would play. Certainly would use him, and nonetheless, looks to me, you know, the other logical horse that you'd have to consider as a strong contender. But there are a couple horses that I do like I'm in here, and I'll start with just one of them. And that's the two horse Flying Scotsman. Actually, we talked about him in his last race a few weeks ago. I thought he has a lot of potential to run well. Didn't like his post. I was afraid because of a hot pace and outside post that he'd get cooked. That's exactly what happened. But I also said he's the kind of horse that you want. If he does get that kind of a trip, you just play him the next time out. Well, this is the next time out. He's kind of wheeled back quickly, which isn't ideal. And he's on synth for the first time. But, you know, he's a turf horse and the synthetic shouldn't be a problem at all. And the inside post could be a problem right here. I'm not sure based on what Dan said. Doesn't have the smartest rider in the world in Rafael Bejarano. So he might try to get a pocket trip in here and that would kill him. So I'm a little bit less enthusiastic about him after talking to Dan about the track profile. But if maybe he doesn't get buried down there. He uses the speed, and Bejarano a lot of times will not save ground, which is one of the reasons I don't typically like him. In this case, it might be a plus. And so hopefully maybe he gets him out and stalks. And I think this horse could run a big race at a big price. So that's one of the long shots I like in here. And I'll turn it over to Scott, because there are a few other price horses in here I want to mention before we move on.
Okay, well, some like it hot brown. I definitely, especially that you think he's a single, that's a horse you got to use. Although with that 3-for-3 at Turfway record, I wonder what price the horse is actually going to be. Is he going to be lower than 2-to-1? Probably. But maybe he's as high as 9-to-5, 8-to-5. I'm actually going with a long shot. I had a bunch of long shots in this race that I liked, and I had a hard time deciding on which one, but I ended up landing on Pikachu. He's 4-for-10 on the synthetic. He's circling back to his best race. He's run a mile and a half race on this track. He's not like a super deep closer, but he is a closer. And he's kind of a running fool, and he won three races ago at a price here at Turfway. He wasn't that far back, but he was 13-to-1. He's 2-for-5 at the distance, and this horse just can run all day. So at 20-to-1, he's the horse I like based on numbers and pattern, and that's who I'm going to roll with. The other horse that I'm interested in is Royal Mesa, who, if I play the pick five, I absolutely use both of these horses. Royal Mesa has run twice on the synthetic, has a second by a neck to Pikachu, and also has a nice handy win as a 3-to-5 favorite. The pattern looks great on the horse. Everything looks good. At 15-to-1, this is a horse that I really like in this race as well. So I would absolutely use both of those horses. And then I'll pass it back to you guys for more details.
Go ahead, Dan.
The horse, the couple horses we haven't mentioned yet, I have no idea why they made Blended Citizen 5-to-2 in the 12-hole. I'm assuming just the Brad Cox angle. I think that horse is probably going to be 5 or 6-to-1. I would be shocked if that horse took a lot of money. Could he hit the board for the try? Yeah, I guess. I'm not too wild about him, but I did want to say to people that are like running from him because of 5-to-2, I would be shocked if he's 5-to-2. You're probably going to get better value than that. And then Sigelman is one of them ones that I would run from, you know, just, I understand the horse has class, but you get Lannery, who's probably going to stick to the rail, which is exactly what you don't want to do. He's going to come from way back. He's never been on the poly. I would, and they're going to bet him. So you're probably going to be 3 or 4 or 5-to-1 there. So if I'm looking for value, you mentioned him, Scott, Pikachu is one of my favorite horses. I love betting on him. I can't tell you how many times I've bet on this horse. And I did get him that night at 13-to-1. I was running around the clubhouse over there. He has a chance. He'll plod along. He's just going to keep going, keep grinding away. And I think this distance is better for him than that mile and a half. So I if you're betting trifectas, I would absolutely have this horse in every trifecta. And then probably Space Mountain would be my flyer, just because of Mike Maker. You get Corrales. Never been on the Poly, but turf horse, and Maker knows where to spot these horses. He does have some good figures in the back. And if this would happen to melt down, I don't think it will. But I don't know what to do with Moon Over Montana. I thought that horse ran two straight unbelievable races and unbelievable figures. And it was almost like they held him last time. I even put a note, did they hold him? Not trying to accuse anybody. I just don't know what happened, because he's always showed pace. He's always broke. He's up. And the horse broke and he grabbed him and then just jogged him in the back of the pack the entire race. So what if that horse shows speed again with this kid on him to send? And that horse is probably going to be 30-1. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what to do with him, but I think that could be another flyer. What do you guys think?
Well, Moon Over Montana, I think, is one you want to include. The horse certainly capable of winning. That trainer is very good second off the claim. So even though it came from a really good trainer and that last race was bad, so you could say, oh, wow, they claimed off Ravelli and the horse ran bad. That's a really negative sign. I wouldn't disagree with that, but the horse really didn't run a jump. And they run it right back into a stakes race with a trainer who does good second off a layoff. You know, I would be really leery about leaving that horse off at a price. So I'm kind of with you on Moon Over Montana. I don't want to repeat anything you guys said, but there is another horse that I did want to mention. Was my second horse in here that I was interested in. That's the one horse, Dragon Bay. Although hearing now the rail's not the place to be, I'm a little more nervous about that. But this horse has all kinds of back class. I mean, he won a grade two stakes race at Woodbine several years ago. He hasn't been running like that recently, but he hasn't been running terribly either. And with that sort of back class, if he gets a good trip, you never know. And, you know, he's 50-1 on the morning line. So there's no reason why he couldn't at least hit the board. I mean, he's hit the board in, I think, three of his last four starts, and he's definitely good on synthetic. That's his specialty. So, you know, that horse to me is the kind you can't leave off your vertical wagers anyway, at the, you know, 50-1 morning line. That's just crazy. So that's the other horse I would mention.
All right. I'll throw in one more. The 7, Thirsty Betrayal, is 4-6 on the synthetic. Loves it. And won a nice big race, or ran a nice big number in his last race at 6-1. And it was a sprint, and he's never done anything routing. However, he's only routed on dirt and turf. And clearly this horse loves synthetic. So he's a horse that I could use underneath at 50-1. And in the interest of brevity, we will move to the next race, since we've talked about just about every horse in that race. The 10th race at Turfway is the Bourbonnet Oaks. It's a mile on the synthetic, purse of $150,000 for fillies, 3-year-olds. And I think this is Chris's turn. So Chris, why don't you get us started?
Okay. This is a tough race, probably not one I'm super interested in playing, but in these 3-year-old races, I like, you know, playing upside. And to me, the obvious upside horse in here is the 4-horse Oxum Power, making only its third start. It's won both its first two, and even overcoming some trouble last time out. It looks like a race with plenty of early speed. It can sit back and finish. So, you know, I'm not in love with this horse, but I don't see any reason why it couldn't win the race. You know, it's proven on the synthetic, lots of upside, and just seems pretty odd. It's an obvious pick if you can get the 8-1 morning line.
All right, Dan, what were your thoughts on this one?
I can't argue with Chris there. I had Mark taking the pick 5, the 3, 4, 5. My top pick would be Past the Plate, only because when you watch that race at Keeneland, man, she just came flying. And then the next race at Churchill, she did it again. then I think, you know, they got greedy. They thought, well, let's try the Kentucky Oaks route, right? Let's see if she can do it on the dirt, you know. And she didn't like insult herself or anything. Only got beat four lengths to the Finite, Ursula, Tempers Rise. You know, I mean, those are good horses. So I don't know what happened the next time. It looks like Lannery made a premature move or something. I haven't had a chance to watch that replay yet, but I know Alms is really nice. So if Alms won the race, that had to be a really nice race. So there's no Alms in this race. She's going to come flying. It's just a matter of, you know, does somebody get the jump on her? And the only one I thought that could get the jump on her was Queen of God, the three. I kept looking for a big long shot to try to include in the ticket, and I just couldn't find one in here. I just kept going back to the same three horses. So what'd you think, Scott?
Well, I'm going to keep this kind of brief because I agree with Chris. I really like Oxen Power. 2 for 2 on the synthetic was really bumped pretty significantly in that last race and fell way back and then just closed really well and seemed nimble enough that with the bigger field, she's going to be able to handle it. I noticed she took some kickback. She weaved in and out of horses. And it's supposed to be a fast pace. So this is the horse I'm most interested in on the entire day. I wrote bet on this. I'm going to bet the horse, and I probably go skinny in the pick five. If I play the pick five, this is the race that's going to make it affordable for me because I will single Oxen Power and maybe just do like one little bit with the Peter Miller horse, Laura's Light, on the outside, because that horse hasn't really done anything wrong. But the value is clearly with Oxen Power.
So that's good. We're both on the same horse there. That usually is a good sign, Scott. So I'm glad to hear that. I'll mention two other horses. One of the favorite, not a favorite, but it's a lower price, and one real bomb. The lower price is a 7-horse Impeccable Style. Horse has not been on the Poly, but it's by Uncle Mo, and Uncle Mo's run on anything, and they run really well as 2- and 3-year-olds. So horse is 4 to 1, I think you could include that one. I'm not saying it's value, but that's definitely one of the horses I think that's a contender. The bomb is the 11-horse Baby Carrots, who drew an outside post, which I was a little nervous about, but now I'm not so nervous about. This is another horse, giant upside, won its debut on the Poly, shipped the Laurel on the dirt, didn't run very well, but that was on the dirt. And now it's back on the Poly and it gets blinkers. So this horse could really improve off of its races, the only two races it's run so far. Kind of similar to Oxen Power, just not quite as fast. But at 50 to 1, and some of these morning, and I don't know how good the morning line is at Turfway because I don't follow it. That's just crazy. If the horse is 50 to 1, you have to include it. That's the 11-horse Baby Carrots.
Okay. Well, I think in the interest again of brevity, we'll just move on to the next race. The 11th at Turfway is the Jeff Ruby Stakes. It's a mile and an eighth on synthetic, purse of $250,000 for 3-year-olds. Dan, where did you land this one?
Well, what a tough one. I mean, I think this race is really, really tough. I'm going to try to get alive in the pick five to a handful of them. So I don't really have any strong opinion. I ultimately did land on Invader only because the 2 for 2 at Turfway, the 11 hole to do the same thing that he's done the last two times from the outside. He's going to fall into that 3 path. He's going to have enough speed to get over. There's not a ton of speed in here. And I thought Invader, you know, if you put a gun to my head and said you had to bet a horse, that would be who it is. But I'm just not sold on anything in here. I mean, we can talk about a ton of them after you guys go with your stuff, but I wouldn't fault anybody for any pick in here. That's how tough I think this race is.
Okay, Chris, what are you thinking?
Well, I agree. It's a tough race. Invader is kind of an obvious one. I'm hoping Mike Maker sends one of his horses, probably the three horse Fancy Liquor, who's, I think, making his second start and won wire to wire on its debut, if I'm right, on the turf. So I'm hoping they send him to keep Invader honest. I was having a tough time coming up with the play in here. I definitely like Finnick the Fierce. I picked him before on the pod on the dirt. He's making a turf debut. His breeding says, I mean, making a synthetic debut. His breeding says that he should, you know, there's no reason to say he couldn't make that transition. He'll come finishing late, probably have a wide trip. They like to keep him out because he's a one-eyed horse and he wants to be able to see what's on. I think his good eye is on the inside, so they want to keep him outside of horses. He's had wide trips in all of his races. That's been to his detriment on the dirt, but at Turfway, maybe that'll play in his favor. I don't know if you'll get 6-1, but that seems like decent value on that horse. But the one I probably would pick as the value play is another horse with similar breeding, making his scent debut, and that's the 7-horse Victory Boulevard, who's second off the claim for Mike Maker, who does a pretty good job of taking these claiming horses and putting them in stakes races where they have a chance. And he's good at finding horses that can stretch out and shift to the turf or synthetic off dirt races. So this horse sort of fits all those patterns. He is making his route debut and his synth debut, but I think given the trainer and the breeding and the fact that the horse is improving, he might be worth a shot at 30-1 on the morning line. I think I wouldn't be shocked at all to see him win. And at that kind of a crazy price, I don't see how you can pass that up.
I will pass Victory Boulevard up with alacrity. He is coming off a big top, sprinting 6 furlongs, and now goes 1 1/8. I'm really surprised that they're even running the horse here. I don't know why they're doing that. But he's 30-1. So I'm not going to play him, but I'm not going to criticize you for that pick, because he, you know, you do have some points. And if he can run as fast going 2 turns on synthetic as he did in his last race, he's a contender. It's just it's like Dan said before, if it's a horse that's been running on dirt, and now it's running on synthetic, I run away from it, but I especially run away from it if it's going 2 turns for the first time. The horse that I landed on, which I thought Chris would actually land on as well, because he had this horse in a stake race in Canada, and that is Halo Again. He's the 6 horse, and he won a stake in his very first race on synthetic going 1 1/8. And he looked good doing it. And Chris picked him in that race. And I thought he was a slow horse, and he's not a super fast horse, but clearly likes the synthetic. He has a win at the distance on the surface. He's 8-1. he clearly prefers the synthetic. He ran at Fairgrounds and ran an okay race. You know, he finished 4th, but he improved. He improved his speed figure. At 8-1, he's the clear play for me. But I would also I would not complain about Invader. I think he looks really tough. He just may be a super low price, but I would use those two, probably only those two, in the pick 5: Invader and Halo Again.
Dan, anything you have to add?
Yeah, in the pick 5, I'm glad you guys mentioned all these horses, because I'm going to use the 11, but I'm also going to use the 6, 7, and 8. So I'm going to have a few options in here. I everything you guys said about Halo Again, Victory Boulevard, and Fennec the Fierce, I agree with. They have chances. You know, I don't know why Maker's in here with the 7, but I'm thinking, well, you know, he tends to win these races, and if he beats me out of a big pick 5, I'm going to be very upset. So I don't want to leave him out. And then the Asmussen, I mean, how do you lead out the six? You can't. You know, mile and an eighth win in a $225,000 stake. You know, that race had to be just as good as this one or close. So, you know, that's what I would take those four, and I would be extremely safe, I think, if I could get there.
Okay, well, I don't know any. I did have a question for you, Dan, on the pick five. How much do you normally invest, and how much do you think you'll invest in this one?
I usually try to stay between 150 and 200, and I always have a single or I won't play. So if I don't have a single, I don't play. And then, you know, I'll try to find a race where I can go two or three deep, or maybe two races where I can go two or three deep. And then I try to take some shots in that other race. And, you know, if I do have a way to take all, I don't mind taking all, especially in a really, really tough race where I think long shots are going to win. But, you know, pick five, it is harder to take all. You got to kind of back into it sometimes, but I never go over 200 unless I have a partner. And if I do have a partner with a buddy, then sometimes I'll get bigger. And on bigger days, sometimes we'll take bigger shots. But on a normal day, and then on Saturday, it'll be between 150 and 200.
Chris, I didn't really give you a chance to ramble about more about the horses in the 11th race. Did you have any other further thoughts?
I do like Halo again. I especially think that horse has a future going long. And I think on the turf, eventually they'll get him on the turf as well. He did run well in the scent. He's got a lot of fast siblings. He's really well bred out of Spitestown and a productive mare. I just thought he may be a little slow to win this. The mile and eighth, I think, plays in his favor. But so I'm not against that horse at all. And I think he'll run well in here, but I'm more think this horse's future is going even longer on turf eventually. So, but I do think he has a chance in here. I agree with you there.
Okay. Did you guys have any other plays? I know there's the Oaklawn races. As much as I would have liked to have scanned through those to make a pick, I never have time with the pod duties. I spend enough time on the races that we cover, but did either of you have any spot plays in other races anywhere else in the country?
Dan, the seventh race at Oaklawn Park. I think they're going to make that rail horse favored. And just from watching Oaklawn, and I got a couple buddies at Turfway that bet it every day, and they're always screaming about the inside being so bad sprinting. I said, well, Silver Ride's been stuck inside four out of his last five starts. He finally draws an outside post. The favorite's on the inside. You're probably going to get somewhere 5-2, 3-1, which isn't great, but it's a two-horse race. He's on the outside, and I think Silver Ride's a nice spot play to try to get $7 or $8 and build the bankroll a little bit, the seventh at Oklahoma.
Chris, did you have any plays you had?
Yeah, well, I'll follow that up with the eighth at Oaklawn. I really like the five-horse Bravazo. This is the kind of race that Dwayne Lucas loves to win when his horse gets overlooked. This horse has a lot of back class. I've always liked him. He's tough as nails when he's right. I think he's rounding into form, third off a layoff. And he's in a race where there's no monsters. He's not running against any of the top horses. And I think he's the kind of horse that just outclasses these if he's ready. He's 8-1 in the morning line. You might even get that. Pretty deep.
$50 double.
And so, yeah, hook that up with Dan's horse in the double, in the rolling doubles they have there. And, you know, I think Bravazo is definitely playable at a price. And in the Rebel, I think it's a really competitive race. I mean, all you hear about is Nadal. And, you know, Baffert has an incredible record at Oaklawn, but he is going to have to earn it in this field. This is a really strong derby prep. I was impressed. I think you can make a case for all but a couple. And there's some that are potentially could be real stars in the making. So that race is really worth playing, worth looking at. it'll be interesting to see who comes out of that race, because whoever does, I think, will be a major player going forward. So, you know, Nadal is definitely not a lock in the Rebel.
I agree with that.
Okay, well, unfortunately, I haven't had a chance to look at any other race, but now I'm excited about the Oaklawn races. Before we wrap it up, I would like to thank Dan Cronin for appearing on the show, and let's hope we had some winners. Thanks for joining us, Dan.
Thanks for having me, guys. This was a blast, and I took a bunch of notes. I hope everybody else will.
All right. Well, I'm certainly going to include your single, Some Like It Hot Brown, because it'd be kind of crazy not to. And so, again, thanks to Dan for being on the show. That will conclude show number 55 of the PH Pod. Good luck this weekend, and please enjoy, again, the Brooklyn Boogaloo Blowout.
Cheers.
Giddy up.